I'm Mike Howard. I'm the youth practice leader at Clouds and Water Zen Center, which is why I'm doing the talk about youth practice. So this talk is going to be a little bit different, perhaps. You may be shocked to hear that if you've been to any of my previous talks. A year ago, when we were in person, I think my last talk included seven ukulele musical numbers with the entire community singing along. And we're not going to do exactly that, no going back, but we are going to be doing some participation. So what I would like you to do is we're going to have a little revolution here. Are you ready for the revolution? Okay. If you're in a relatively quiet space and you're willing to do so, and you're willing to share your video, I would like you to unmute yourselves at this time. Would you do that? Okay, good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. All right, awesome, super. Now, I'm going to assign to you the most difficult, fiendishly difficult mindfulness task that has yet been devised by humanity, which is I would like you to take responsibility for your own mute state on Zoom. This is a task that many have failed at, including myself, and we'll see how it goes. But the reason I would like to do this is because we're going to be doing a lot of participation, and this is what we do in youth practice. In general, the kids are not muted. So if it gets to be too noisy, I'll pause, and you know we'll take steps to deal with that. It'll be okay. And Mio Shin is going to help out manage the mute state too. If you are sharing your audio, please also share your video because it's really difficult to see who's saying something if you're not, okay? All right, so we got a big presentation. I need to get rolling here. Let's see. Oh, and as far as participation goes, in that vein, if you have questions along the way, you can do one of several things. There are enough people that the way I'm doing this presentation, I'm not going to be able to see all of you. Otherwise, I would say to just raise your hand if you have a question. So you need to do a couple different things. You could put it in the chat window if you have a question. You can do the electronic version of raising your hand. I think there's a way of doing that, and I'll try to keep an eye on things, although I haven't been very good at that in the past. Or you could actually just speak up, unmute yourself if necessary and speak up and ask something. Okay. And we'll see how that goes too. Again, this is how we do things in youth practice. There's like a lot of back and forth. All right. On with the show. So I do a lot of work with kids. I post a lot of things on the web for kids, so I feel necessary to add this warning. The next couple of slides are rated PG for, I'm going to pin myself here or spotlight myself so I don't, yeah, so I can see my screen. There we go. Rated PG for shocking visuals and frank discussion of the pandemic situation. Are you prepared now? Mm. All right. Let's talk about the pandemic briefly. I believe what we have here is a classic good news, bad news situation. So first, let's talk about the bad news. Feel free to laugh if you want to, it's okay. The bad news, we're experiencing physical danger, threats to our livelihood, concern for our children. If there are parents out there, I probably don't need to tell you that there is a lot of concern about what's going to happen in the coming school year. Social isolation. I personally know about this one and could talk about it a lot, but I need to stay focused on talking about youth practice for this talk. Massive uncertainty. Think back to how we were feeling and how we were doing back in, oh, say, April. And profound disillusionment. Are these ringing any bells for anybody? I'm seeing some thumbs up. Great. So you might ask, what's the good news? Well, some good news. We may be getting a lot of fresh insights into what is not working in our lives. This is a great opportunity to learn new things, many of which we probably didn't want to know, but that's another story. Realizing we have a great chance here to realize the value of human connection, because we have far less of it, and it becomes obvious. It is a great time to practice Zazen right now. Some people may be very busy, but for some of us, if not now, when? And finally, hope for the future. This will end eventually. Things will eventually get better. I hope. I can't actually make any promises, but I'm pretty sure. All right, so let's talk about youth practice. So for 12 Sundays from May to July 2020, we hosted youth practice grades 1 through 6 sessions on Zoom, doing our best to keep our community together during this very difficult, uncertain time. Working with children in Zoom is very different from in person. And we've experienced this. We had to develop a new approach. And that's what I'm going to be talking about in this presentation. In fact, we're going to run through what we did and walk through a typical youth practice session. Should be fun. Let's see here. So first, I need to make kind of a disclaimer. I call this goals and realities. Please note that youth practice is different from a traditional education setting. Our goal is not education per se. Our whole mission is to practice mindfulness and compassion together and foster a sense of community and connection. The demands of youth practice are also very different. Youth practice on Zoom has been a small group of 8 or 9 kids in grades 1 through 6, hosted for 45 minutes every week. And we develop all our lessons from scratch. Traditional education is probably a different animal in many ways. I greatly respect the efforts of educators out there who are working in an incredibly difficult situation, especially now. This session is offered in the spirit of sharing ideas which have worked for us in our situation. So if there's anything here that's helpful, please feel free to use it. I hope it will be at least be interesting. On the other hand, if it is not helpful, please feel free to ignore it. Okay. I put together a timeline, and this is actually an example of text, which is probably too small for Zoom. But I wanted to do this. I put together a timeline of what we did in youth practice grades through 6 in 2020 here. And it started out conventionally in person with what I am now calling the newsletter era. This is where our program was really starting to get interesting and come together in some ways. I was putting together newsletters which doubled as lesson plans. And we were trying to share the work we were doing with the community, because otherwise people don't really know what's going on in youth practice very much. So the hope was that this would help, you know, the parents and the rest of the community be able to share in what we were doing to some extent. So this is pretty interesting stuff. And by the way, to jump ahead here for a moment, if you get one thing from this presentation, I would probably like it to be this. There are a lot of these resources available on our website at cloudsandwater.org, Youth Practice Interconnections. And you can get there on the site by going to this tab, Youth and Family, and then down to Resources. Back to the timeline. So then we hit March. Well, let me tell you a little personal story. Toward the end of the newsletter era, I was actually getting pretty burnt out. I honestly had no idea what the next lesson plan was going to include. So luckily for me, the world ended. Kind of like the ultimate snow day, except really not. We wanted to figure out some way to continue to try to support the kids, even though Clouds and Water closed its doors of necessity for our own safety and public safety. The problem is, I thought about doing it on Zoom, and the sessions we were doing before, youth practice sessions, 90 minutes with about 20 children, multiple volunteer teachers. I didn't see any way that would work on Zoom. What we were doing in youth practice is very different from a Dharma talk. It's much more, even then it was much more participatory. And I just thought about that and said, oh boy, there's no way that's gonna work. So what I started out doing is some YouTube videos. And these are also online. Looking back at these, I find these actually pretty interesting. But as you see, that stopped because I eventually realized that although they were interesting and I was getting some feedback, they were really missing a connection. Okay, there's no back and forth between me and the kids when I'm doing this. And also Mio Shin did a bunch of story time videos for the younger kids too. Same deal with that. I think those were very useful. People liked them, some of them anyway. But there's no connection. So then you notice that there's a little gap here. This is basically me in despair. So realizing that the YouTube stuff is not really working out in some ways, or at least is not working out for me. I miss the kids for one thing. So what do we do? So I talked to some people and I had a few conversations, gave it a lot of thought, and eventually came up with an idea for how we could do youth practice on Zoom, and thus began youth practice live. This is in the sense of Saturday Night Live when they were doing it on Zoom, not actually in person, but online with actual participation. So then we have youth practice live on Zoom, the early years. This is a little bit of a joke because some of this really felt like years. And then we did our summer session, which is really continuing, but became more polished as we went along, and we started posting the slides from these sessions, as you'll see. And then that brings us down to August 16th and this talk. Okay, we'll come back to this timeline towards the end of the presentation and look into the future a little bit. This is the, again, there's the slides on youth practice on Zoom with the summer session stuff. These are big PDF files. All right, so we came up with some principles, I came up with some principles mostly, although it was really kind of a joint effort between me and the volunteers and the children at discovering how this was going to work. So here's what I've come up with to try to encapsulate our approach here. Principle number one, mindfulness and compassion. Okay, this is nothing new. This is what youth practice is about. This is like our one-line mission statement. Or we often phrase it as awakening the heart of great wisdom and compassion. But it bears repeating, this is still number one. Number two, however, is participation and connection. This is key. We are really emphasizing this in a whole new way. When we go through the session, you will see over and over again, I hope, that we offer invitations to participate. I believe the connection is what we need most right now. It's both our biggest challenge and our biggest opportunity. And how do we practice participation and connection? Well, with mindfulness and compassion. That's our approach. Number three, this is also new, is structure and particularly a visual focus. The background slides that we use in Zoom are a whole new way of engaging the students. Hopefully you're seeing a little bit of that already in what I'm doing with this presentation, but you'll see more. Everything we do in these youth practice sessions has a slide, even if it's only just a kind of a placard saying we're doing this now. These slides help us keep on track. at all times. Everyone can see what we're doing. And it actually gives them new ways to participate as well. They can read along with what we're doing. As a bonus, they help us share what we're doing with the community since we started putting these slides out there. Number four is simplicity and brevity. This is also new, or at least taken to a new level. Reduce is my motto when I'm trying to come up with these sessions. To the main points, the bare minimum. Sessions, youth practice live sessions are 45 minutes, and we do like a lot of things. So we keep things moving along. I'm actually combining kind of two things here, simplicity and brevity, or it should almost be separate points. Simplicity is like how I construct the sessions. Brevity is how we conduct the sessions. And it kind of relates to flow in that if I sense or we sense together that that a segment is flagging, we don't flog it to death. We gracefully move along. This is something that has required a lot of practice and a lot of mindfulness for me in particular over 12 weeks. And this may be a little controversial for some. Avoid long stretches of time lecturing the students. You're cutting into discussion time. All right, this is not a universal law. We do have some segments that are basically us lecturing the children, but I can't really emphasize enough that for us, these are the exceptions rather than the rule, and they don't last very long. If we did the whole session like that, we would lose them. It's that simple. This is why I say this is different from conventional education, because I think in conventional education, you pretty much have to do a lot of that stuff. We don't. Number five is improvisation. We did this before, but we're taking it to a new level. Within the structure, we improvise. Children interact with the teachers. That's good. On a really good day, children interact with other children. If the children are interacting or talking to the other children specifically about the topic under discussion, I view that as a pretty big win. And the teachers support each other. It's a little bit like an improv class. Having a structure actually allows us to improvise more. That's why they have structures in improv. Have you heard of improv structures? Okay, games. And once in a while, however, we jump the rails altogether if we need to. This has happened. I've realized that, okay, this is not working at all. We're going to go look at cat pictures on the on the internet. All right, we're not a slave to the structure. Number five, fun. This is also somewhat new. Fun. I don't know. We have a lot of fun in youth practice. Again, however, we are elevating the fun. Contrary to popular belief, Zen and fun are not antonyms. On Zoom, do you know what an antonym is? Opposite word. On Zoom, children are much less of a captive audience than before. If they aren't engaged, I believe they will drop out, particularly with youth practice, where they're coming a bit more voluntarily. It's not like the parents are bringing them in somewhere. They're at home. And they have more flexibility to, you know, like close their video. But really, the darker the times, the more important it is to have some fun. This is something else we kind of discovered really along the way. There was a time when we were getting a little bit too serious and really started to lose them. This was specifically during the George Floyd. We did a George Floyd memorial session. And it was good to do that, but it was a little bit too much. You can probably understand why we would want to do something very serious. But even in a situation like that, as it turns out, we can't lose track of giving the kids an opportunity to have a bit of normality and a bit of happiness if we can do that. That's what we're here for. So the format, are you still with me at this point? I'm switching back between speaker view and the gallery view because speaker view is how I'm able to actually like see my own slides here because there's like a lot of you in gallery view. With the kids, I'd be able to see everything at once. Because it's a smaller group. It's usually about eight. So over 12 weeks, we refined a format for these sessions. This may well continue to evolve in the future, but we put a lot of work into this, and it's the kind of work of like slogging through it, trial and error. And this format works pretty well for us. Sessions are 45 minutes long. That seems to me to be about the right amount of time for the structured sessions. But often afterwards, and this is fun, we have informal hangout time. A couple of the students sometimes just don't want to leave, which is great. So we hang out and chat and show like pictures and doing all sorts of interesting things. Towards the end there, some of the after party, so to speak, we're getting to be more interesting in the session than the session. And I was like, kids, you need to like do this earlier. I guess some like August played a number on the piano. It's like, no, we have a segment for that. Come on. It was very entertaining though. You'll have to take my word for it. Let's see here. So I use the word segments just there. Our sessions are composed of multiple segments. The term segment is one I am very consciously borrowing from television. Television production techniques apply here. This is a new medium for us. We'll now go through the most recent session. This is number 12, past, present, and future. And we'll have some clips mixed in from the earlier sessions. Oops, what happened? Come back. There we go. All right. So this is how we would start out. This is Youth Practice Live number 12, past, present, and future. This was just a couple of weeks ago. And I'm throwing in some kind of explanatory comments here. So this is the first segment, the welcome. And a lot of the kind of like additional comments that are not part of the session itself, but are like my comments on it, I do those in italics. Okay, that's kind of the convention here. So this is the title page. It's presented while children and other adults are arriving for the session. The host should welcome each student as they come in, much like we did today. There's a lot of commonalities between what we're doing in youth practice and the adaptations that you have to make for the adult sessions, like the Sunday thing that we're doing now. The host should welcome each student and volunteer as they arrive, ask how they're doing, engage in a bit of conversation. It's important to have a distinct graphic for each session and to use a large font from the title. The font I'm here is actually kind of the smallest I can get away with because this helps establish the theme and the kids coming in like, oh, this is interesting. What's this picture? Helps with the conversation a little bit, but mainly it's because the PDF files for these slides. Thank you, Xinyu. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is really helpful.
Great. We will hopefully have the recording one way or the other. I'm just seeing if I'm caught up here. Let's see here. The slides, the PDF slides that I put online can be loaded into iBooks or probably Amazon, whatever the Amazon Kindle, as a book. And then this title page becomes the thumbnail for the book. That's why the interesting visual, the distinct visual, and the large font. And that's actually kind of interesting to me as I do that. And sometimes I like page through these things just to remind myself of what we're doing. The second page is a brief explanation for people who may be reading the slides. It's not used in class. It's important that this is on the title page where it would clutter things up. So the explanation is these slides form the backbone of our Zoom session. They appear as the presenter's background, but the body of the session is filled in by you, the children and adults who participate. If you are viewing these slides after the session, please find a way to participate however you are able, whether with a parent or with a friend or on your own. So segment two is a game. It's important to get the students involved right away to establish a tone of participation. This is something that I've attempted to do in this session, but probably failed. We'll see. This is why we start with a game. Our preferred games are Would You Rather and If. They're very simple conversation starters that flow naturally from the welcoming period. If the welcome is petering out, then go to a game, and that'll help. So for this session, we had Would You Rather visit the future and the past, or the past. And I would go around to the kids and ask them, okay, future, past. And they would think about it and come up with a response. Does anyone here have like a feeling? Would you rather go to the future or the past? This is where we, I don't have time to go around to everyone, but.
Past.
Past? Who said that?
I did. The past and see what I could change.
Ooh, nice one. See, this is what we do. Anyone else?
So that I could know what to be prepared for.
Excellent. Very great idea. We get really interesting responses from the kids. It's great. The graphic, by the way, is Hong Kong. As you can see here, Hong Kong 2020, and then the bottom part is Hong Kong in 1924, flipped upside down. Again, related to the theme, past, future. Oops. Here I added, let me do something here. I'm gonna do my little magic trick. There we go. Here I added some interesting visuals to reinforce the theme, past, present, future. You can find stuff like this when you're searching for images on the internet. So this is, oops, wow, I hit the wrong button again. Okay, so this is New York in 1876. This is New York in 1988. You can flip back and forth and talk about the differences. These visual things help with the conversation. It gives us, this is a structure thing. It's a participation thing. It's a fun thing. How it gives us something to work with, okay? It's kind of like improv when you'd have like a suggestion what to do. All right, so you also need to watch the time, which I should be doing. We're way behind already. So we're gonna skip question number two and go to segment three, which is trivia. So here, the fun comes back into it. And the interesting thing is, sometimes the fun is just for the teacher. This is a little joke that some of you might get here. I see a thumbs up. Okay, goes over the head of most of the kids and really some most of the adults. But it amuses me. And at this point, that's necessary. So, and you know, you can introduce the kids gently to Monty Python if you want to.
Yeah.
Without too many details. So trivia, here we bring in a little bit of knowledge, often related to the theme of the session. And this is interesting. It's good to let the students demonstrate their own knowledge and share their knowledge with each other. This is something I discovered basically by accident. I just thought, trivia, we'll do that. And then kids started doing this. It's like, okay, this is good. Start with an easy question to include the youngest students. Okay, so this is a flashback to Youth Practice Live number one, the beginning. Our first trivia question was, how many legs does a spider have? Does anybody know?
Eight.
Eight? I can't see how many fingers you're holding up. anyway, moving on. How many fingers does a spider have? Okay, so eight. Yes, you're correct. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Oh, I gotta like, I forgot. The joke isn't any good if I don't visually appear. So it's like, you can ham things up a little bit.
Love it.
So there's your visual answer. So now let's go back to session number 12. Past, present, and future. And by this time, King Arthur and the Keeper of the Bridge of Doom are in the time tunnel from Doctor Who.
I think that's actually Sir Lancelot.
Oh, so, you know, you're probably right.
Yeah, that's not King, that's Lancelot.
See, this is the kind of feedback that we need. This is why we do these participatory sessions. So moving on to another trivia question, note that the trivia question now, it's not a great trivia question, but it relates to the theme of the session, which is time. So how many hours in a day? Well, this is one we throw out to the younger kids because they probably can get this one. The older kids get to like find a calculator and figure it out. So 24 hours a day, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. One of the kids actually got a calculator and worked this out, and I encouraged them. You know, it's like, oh, good, original thinking, kind of in the James T. Kirk sense.
Okay, and then do you play the minute song too?
No, I don't know what the minute song is.
Oh, gotta watch Rent.
Yeah.
Listen to Rent.
Okay. All right. We might do that in a future session. I'll make note of that. So here's a harder one. According to Ahe Dogen, how many moments are there in every second of every day? Does anybody know this one?
All of them.
No, that's a good answer. Okay. Yeah. Does anybody know a specific number according to Ahe Dogen? No, I don't see any.
Is it something like 10 to the 52nd power is in a finger snap or something?
Yeah, I've heard something like that too. I think that's a different source.
Different, okay.
Yeah. The answer, as far as Ahe Dogen is concerned, is 74,075 moments in every second and every day. And here's the interesting things. One of the kids knew the answer to this.
Wow.
You may have thought, and you may be right, that that question was too difficult, but they got it. And that's happened multiple times. So there's a picture of Nev holding up a sign that she actually has. 74,075 moments. This is, you know, again, kids demonstrating their own knowledge. This is great stuff. And each moment is an opportunity to wake up. Here's the 12 links of dependent arising, which cycle at super speed, as Katagiri Yoroshi used to say. So this is where you see we're working in very brief, a little bit of Dharma education here, okay? We talked about the 12 links in a previous session. We're probably the only youth practice. I'm sorry, this sounds like boasting. I'd be very surprised if there was another youth practice that tried to teach the 12 links of dependent arising to grade schoolers. that's just how we roll around here. According to Buddhism, what cosmic force connects the past, the present, and the future? Hint, it's a word you probably know. Does anybody know it? Anybody have a guess? Starts with a K.
Karma?
Very good, karma. And what does karma mean?
Action.
Oh, Rushin, we talk about this all the time. You're kidding. You're cheating. Karma means action or cause and effect. Here's an interesting thing. Galen, I forget what grade Galen is, but when I asked the question, Galen said, me, I'm the cosmic force. And I thought about that and I said, you know what? I don't think I can argue with that. that is a really interesting response. So I put it in here. In a sense, I think that's also correct. Your actions connect the past, present, and future. Okay, and then we get to segment 3. Oh gosh, we are so far behind. Which is who said it? So I have to make a choice here about how I'm going to do this because this is kind of a long thing. And it relates to an in-joke. But this started out as a trivia question and became its own thing. This is way back in Youth Practice Live number 2. Which Zen master wrote, "The green mountains are always walking. Do not doubt mountains walking, even though it does not look the same as humans, as human walking." Okay, surely someone in this crowd must know. Very good, Dogen. All right. Here's the thing. Some of us of a certain age are aware that Dogen comes up a lot in Zen centers. But the kids couldn't guess the answer to this question. More to the point, the adults in the room did not know the name Dogen either. Sorry, guys. So I decided to keep working on this, and we worked on it week after week. So the next week, which famous Zen master wrote Shobogenzo?
Dogen.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
In 1223, which famous Zen master made the dangerous journey to China to find true Buddhism and bring it back to Japan?
Dogen.
Very good. Which famous Zen master wrote, "Even if wrong upon wrong pervades the entire universe, and even if wrongs have swallowed up the truth again and again, there is still salvation and liberation in not committing wrongs"?
Dogen.
Very good. From not doing wrongs. You may be detecting a pattern here. By around this time, the kids not only know the name Ahidogen, they are yelling it at me before I finish the question. Mission accomplished. They now know Dogen's name. If they get nothing else out of youth practice, those young people will remember Ahidogen. However, we are now using the joke to teach the kids about things that Dogen actually wrote. So we continued. Which famous Zen master wrote, "The practice of Buddhists turns the earth to gold and ripens the Milky Way into delightful cheese"?
Dogen.
It's like Dogen.
Yep. Which famous Zen master wrote, "To study the awakened way"? This is an easy one. "To study the awakened way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be realized by the many things."
Dogen.
Very good. Which famous Zen master wrote? I'll let you soak in the visual here a little bit. "You have some understanding of space. You should penetrate the inside and outside of space. You should kill space and give life to space. You should know the weight of space."
Dogen.
Okay. Yep. Which famous Zen master wrote, "Being born as a human being is a big deal because it's the best place in which to realize awakening. So don't waste your precious life. By doing zazen, you are upholding the awakened way. Who would want to goof off instead? Everything in this life is fleeting, changing all the time. It goes by faster than you can imagine."
Dogen.
Dogen.
Good. Okay, now we're about to mix it up a little bit. So at this point, the students are too smart and they have caught on to the game where the answer is Dogen every week. So we need to make things a little more interesting. So we invented a new game, Katagiri, Buddha, or Dogen. All right, you ready for this? Who said, "When the Dharma hasn't completely filled your body and mind, you think that you've got it just fine. But when you are truly full of the Dharma, you feel there's something missing"? Okay, raise your hand if you think this is Dainen Katagiri. Okay, raise your hand if you think this is Buddha. Okay, raise your hand if you think this is Dogen. Ah, it's Dogen again. And there's a little comment here that I won't read, but you can get these off the slides. And there's kind of a secret segment embedded in these slides, which is called Kikan's Radical Book Recommendations. And there's a bit here from a new book called The Dark Side of the Mirror by David Brazier, which is a book that I recommend, but can't talk about it because I need to move on. Okay. "Birds live the life of the sky, fish live the life of the water, but then to go further beyond is enlightenment practice and is the way of the old living sage. So thoroughly investigate the water and later you will be investigating the sky." Surely it couldn't be Dogen again this week, could it?
Dogen.
Dogen.
Yeah, you're right, it's Dogen again. Okay, but now we're at our last session. Okay, now back to past, present, and future. Okay, who said? Serious now. "If you go beyond conceptualization of karmic life, it is nothing but a perpetual flow of energies. That's it. Because karmic life has been going from the past, present, futures from every direction." Okay, who said this one?
Katagiri.
How many people think it's Katagiri? How many people think it's Dogen? How many people think it's Buddha? No Buddha, interesting. Okay. It is Dainen Katagiri. Yay. All right. And Dogen has a comment at the end of our year. "I know it's shocking. You already miss me being the answer for every who said it question. It is truly the end of an era." Remember, this was over 12 weeks. And there's a footnote. Dogen did not actually say this because that question came up. But don't worry. Buddhist teachers mostly say the same things, just in different ways. And there's another footnote. Dogen might have said something like this sometime. He said a lot of things. And there's a comment I added. In the fall, it won't be all Dogen. Probably. So that brings us to segment number 5, which is Zazen, after the who said it question, which, you know, it's usually just one question, not 12 or 11. So it's not quite that long. We do a minute of zazen. We usually just sit for 1 minute, and pretty much any age can do that. And we're going to, even though we're pressed for time, we're going to do that now, just to make a point. Because early on in our sessions, sometimes we skip this if we're running out of time. And I eventually realized that's not good. We need to do this without fail, because we're establishing a pattern in an expectation that we're doing this. And this is about repeating like a lot of the same stuff over and over again. So we're going to sit for 1 minute. I'll time it here. So just get in a comfortable position. Okay, now unfortunately I'm really going to have to skimp on the rest of these slides, because there's many segments left and I just need to give you like a general overview of some of the other things we do in the session, because there's some business I need to do at the end here. So segment 6 is our altar ritual, opening the altar. And let me say, I will make the slides available from the session, so you'll be able to see like the rest of this. Okay, although I won't be talking about it. So opening the altar, this was one that I was, I could not for the life of me figure out how to make this work on Zoom, because it was always me up at the altar with volunteers, children doing it. And then I realized the answer is very simple. We have them participate at home. You can do it at home. You just get something that represents light, something that represents fragrance, and something that represents water. And the kids actually, a lot of them, even the very young ones, especially the very young ones, enjoy doing the ritual at home as we go through this. There's lighting the candle, offering the lavender buds, placing the water on the altar. So there we get our ritual. And this is one, we do this without fail. This is another thing like zazen. We do this without fail every week. And that's important because this is where we offer blessings and concerns for the community. This is very much like the community practice we did during meditation this morning. This is the young person version. So the kids or volunteers offer blessings or concerns. So, you know, for example, we had, and then I add these to the slides afterwards, so they kind of go into the public record. We have blessings for all the kitty cats. We have blessings for all the people who care for animals. We have blessings for all the homeless and the people who don't have money or in need. Okay. Session number 7 is movement. It's great if you can find someone to lead this. I can't really do it myself. We had Toa lead a couple sessions doing some basic martial arts patterns, which was fabulous. The kids really seem to be into that, and it's a great break from sitting there. So it's a great thing if you can do it in these sessions. Segment number 8 is story time. I really regret that we're not going to be able to do this one today. But let me tell some of the most interesting work that we're now doing is with the stories, because we've run out of illustrated Buddhist stories. So basically we are making our own at this point, basically by whatever means necessary. which for me is usually images scrounged off the internet. And to keep the kids engaged, this is another very interesting thing we're doing. We're integrating the questions into the flow of the story, but we don't push that too hard. The youth practice sessions are really a bit more about kind of gentle engagement, but if they're not into it, we're not going to push it too hard. So I put a link in the slides to a relevant NPR article about Inuit storytelling, which is where I got the idea to integrate the questions. So I'm going to just show you the title page for probably the edgiest thing I've ever done, I think, in youth practice. This one cost me a sleepless night or two, which is Katagiri Comics. I know it's funny, but it's not a joke. this is a story about Katagiri's experience in World War II. We're talking about that in class. And it also relates to Genjo Koan. So you can look at this on the website. You can get a sense of how this was. I'm just going to let you look at this at home. It's actually pretty interesting. It's images that I scrounged off the internet combined with his actual words, mostly edited down, simplified for kids, but from his actual talks, not from the books. They're from this katagiritranscripts.net website, which is a project that I'm working on. This is something that I'm working on it's helping me keep my sanity during isolation, during the pandemic period. So if you go here, this is my project, and it's updated as I have time to do things. There's a bunch of transcripts of his talks. And specifically, this story was drawn from his talks on Genjo Koan. Okay, I need to push things along because we're out of time. Sharecraft is very important. It's the sharing segment. There's another one we do without fail now, once we figured out we need to do it, because this is a new opportunity. The kids are at home, so they have things that they can share. And there are kids who I think come to the session specifically for this, which is why we put it towards the end. So here's some, I'll get myself out of the frame there. Here's some example of kids sharing on Zoom, which has been absolutely lovely. And then if time allows, we do a song. And we only do one song every week because it's the one that allows some participation. And I really wish we had time to do the song together, but we don't. Apparently my introduction was too long. And finally, we do emotions checkout. We have our emotions wheel here. And we go around the kids and they each choose a word. It doesn't have to be from this list. It can be however they're feeling. From a whole range of emotions. Often it tends to be on the happy and energetic spectrum by the end of these sessions, usually, except when we're being too serious. So assuming that's an honest report from them, I don't know, that's nice to see. So I realize we're over time, but I do need to do this. I'll keep it brief. Our youth practice team has disbanded. It kind of happened along the way during the pandemic. There's no way we can really do a closing ritual since we're not in person. I don't think I could get most of them to come back to do it. So I want to say thank you to our volunteers, grades 1 through 6. This is Leslie Stoy, Toa Kurt Erickson, Jishi Megan Henricks, Dylan McWilliams, and Shulman. Zen Family Practice was Barrett Talon and Rebecca Morse. Zen Family Videos were by our own Myoshin, Diane Benjamin. Thank you, Myoshin. Stellar work. Teen Group was led by myself and Flying Fish Barbara Murphy this year. And the Jukai Teen Group of the three teens, older teens who were doing Jukai, was Flying Fish Barbara Murphy, or is, that's still going on. Additional assistance from June Khan, Dan Matamiro, Seamus Flynn, Daishin Smith, Emily Buckley, Yokai Brent Weber, Ro Oranos, and there were, frankly, there were probably others that I have forgotten because, frankly, it has been a long year. Did someone say something? No, I think they were shooing an animal out. Can we take Yokai? Can we take a minute? Can I read this? Or
sure.
Okay. I wanted to offer this. This is a quote from Dainin Katagiri Roshi. It's something that I find comforting to kind of conclude our youth practice year. He said, look at the Zen histories. If Buddhism were completely destroyed by the politics, by the Chinese politics, he's talking about Chinese history here. If all the monks were completely destroyed and the government kicked them out of the temples, wherever the Zen monks went, either fishermen, either boatmen, still Zen is alive in their life. Now when the world becomes peaceful, harmonious, all the Zen monks come back to Buddhism. It's very strange, but it is very true. All the Zen monks come back very naturally when the war gets peace, because when the government is excited and angry, well, they can live anytime, anywhere. Goodbye, but it doesn't mean that Zen Buddhism dies. It's still alive in their life. That's why when the time comes, conditions are right, it comes back. Sorry. And a little bit about why flow is in this talk. There was a talk I discovered in 1987, the Genja Kwan talk, where one of the students at the end asked him a question, because I can relate to this. He's like, I really still don't understand, Roshi. Yes, when you witness, can you explain, when you witness one side, the other side is obscure, I still don't get it. And Katagiri said, okay, first I recommend a book, Beyond Boredom and Anxiety. And 30 years later at home, I said, what? And the successor to that book is this book, which is called Flow. It's a mainstream bestseller by the same author. So I'm passing Katagiri Roshi's book recommendation on to you. This is a fascinating book. I've read it. I will reread it. I think there are things in this book that relate to how we do youth practice and our lives. And if you're looking for a little pandemic project, read this book. Read I'm just offering this as an option. Read this book and compare it. Also read Dark Side of the Mirror by David Brazier. Spoiler, there are some startling similarities between the Buddhist and the non-Buddhist take on things. The Buddhist and, you know, this particular scientific take on things. Again, here's a link to the resources. I guess we're kind of at the end. We're not too bad. So this is, I know I'm a little over, but we're at the end. So this is the timeline you remember from before, and I extended this into the future, which is, of course, uncertain, particularly now. But here's the general idea that we'll continue youth practice sessions starting on October 4th, going to every other week on Zoom. And then down in April, there's Easter. I have a kind of slightly snarky comment. 1 year later, I'm referring to 1 year after we were supposed to be done with this. The last segment we do, or one of the, I guess the last segment is segment 12, the Metta Chant. This comes from San Francisco Zen Center. Oops, hang on. Yokai, can we take a minute to do this?
Sure.
Okay. This is from San Francisco Zen Center. I zoomed in a couple mornings and discovered that they were doing this, and it is really lovely. They have a big group of people. And here's the thing. I'm going to read it, and then you repeat after me, okay? May all beings be free and safe from harm.
May all beings be free and safe from harm.
May all beings be happy and fulfilled.
May all beings be happy and fulfilled.
May all beings be healthy and strong.
May all beings be healthy and strong.
May all beings have ease and joy in their lives.
May all beings have ease and joy in their lives.
May all beings be free from suffering.
May all beings be free from suffering.
Lovely, thank you. And that brings us to the end of the youth practice session. We're not going to do this here because I have to hand it back to Yokai. But here everybody says, have a great day, take care, you know, whatever, you know, bye-bye, okay, and then they sign out, except the ones who stick around for informal hangout time. And that works pretty much just like it works in San Francisco Zen Center. It's like the first time I experienced that, I was frankly pretty depressed. And there were like all these happy people on the screen, like dozens of them, just radiating kindness and beauty and happiness. And I'm like, whoa. All right, we got to try that with the kids. So that's the end of my presentation. I had to skip through a lot of it, but the slides will be online. You can look at the Katagiri story just as well yourself as I can read that to you. So I'll hand it back to Yokai. Thank you very much.